Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm pumped.
Amen.
Are you pumped?
Amen.
I feel like I got a good knot tonight. Is the knot good, Jeff? Good. Jeff says the knot's perfect. That means we can go forward. Praise God. What is he talking about? Knot. My tie knot. It's important to have a good knot. The preaching anointing will not come down on me without a good knot. But Jeff says we got a good knot, so we're ready to go. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, open them, please, to Philippians 4:19. Thank you, Lord. I'll tell you what, this series is going to change us. It's going to change us now, and it's going to change us going forward. Praise God. Father, we bless you tonight. Hallelujah. Well, let's go ahead and let's pray and believe God for utterance, boldness, whatever he wants to do. Hallelujah. Father, we love you and praise you. We magnify the name of Jesus. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the blessed word of God. Now, Father, I thank you as I open my mouth tonight, Father. I thank you that you'll fill it with words from heaven. Just like the psalmist of old said, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. Father, I thank you I'll speak words in season, hitting bullseyes in the listener's heart. Father, saying things that are pertinent to their lives, specific to their situations and circumstances. Father, we thank you for answers tonight. We thank you for impartations, revelation, encouragement, correction if need be. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise and the glory. Father, for without your word, we would be lost. And we thank you for it. Father, thank you for the anointing tonight. Thank you for the help of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, this is part 3 of the God of Provision. Hallelujah. Praise God. And our key verse that we've been starting with is Philippians 4 and verse 19. Very familiar verse to us, but such a powerful promise from him. It says, but my God shall supply all your need. And then there's a huge word there that is so key in that verse. It says, according. That verse before then is such good news. God wants to supply all your needs. Thank you, Lord, for not being a deadbeat daddy. Yes. Thank you, Lord, for caring about us. Praise God. But then he tells us what it's going to be according to. According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so we see that there is a provision, a supply available to us that has nothing to do with our jobs, investments, our savings account, our businesses, praise God, any inheritance. God says, I want to meet your needs according to my riches and glory. And the Holy Ghost is so good during this time to put this on my heart, because I'll tell you what, we have learned during this coronavirus pandemic that things can change in people's lives overnight. 2020 came and you're going down the road of 2020, and all of a sudden 2020 took a detour. Bridge out. Bridge out of what? Normalcy. All of a sudden, things were normal for you. You know, you're working, you're having a job, you can buy toilet paper, you can buy as much hamburger as you want to, the Clorox wipes are everywhere. And then all of a sudden, the bridge to normalcy just went out, and we took a detour down to abnormalcy. But what it's taught us is that at the drop of a hat, things can change naturally. And Jesus promised us in this world we'll have tests and trials. Well, when there's these tests, you know, the test wasn't the norm in school.
That's right.
But when they would show up, all of a sudden it'd be unexpected at times, and they would come, and you have to be ready for them. And this is a test for a lot of people. And even if you haven't been personally affected in the sense of your job didn't change, your income didn't change, your business didn't change, your investments didn't change, you know people that have. And you know Christians that have. Christians are not exempt from the tests and trials. Now, we can be exempt from the defeat and the loss of them, but you know people, if you haven't been affected, maybe you have, that have been affected. And it teaches us, we better not have our faith in our jobs. Thank God for our jobs. Thank God for our investments. Thank God for our businesses. Thank God for 401ks. Thank God for the stock market. Thank God for savings accounts. Thank God for those things. But those things can be affected just like that. They can change. They can be wiped out. They can be the bottom line could be majorly affected like that. But God never changes. And we're having this series because some of you are going through things and you need to see it's okay that your job messed up. Yeah. It's okay that your business is changed a little bit. Yeah. It's okay that the grocery stores and things. Put your faith in the one that doesn't change. Glory to God. And we're trying to shine a big old spotlight on Him. Who? Yeah. The God of provision. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, we saw with a man, we looked at this in the first week that we had this series, man by the name of Elijah. He's going about in life. He's obeying God. He's living for the Lord. He's doing his normal day-to-day things like we all were just doing our normal day-to-day things. And his world got flipped, turned upside down. And he was running for his life. You know, his life was in jeopardy. And God wanted to spare his life. God wanted to help him. Well, God told him, hey, if you're going to be successful, if you're going to have a supply, if you're going to be taken care of during this time, you need to get out to the wilderness. Well, what if Elijah would have said, but there's no income in the wilderness. But there's no Walmart in the wilderness. But there's no job in the wilderness. My business is not in the wilderness. Thank God Elijah didn't have his faith in the normal, in the everyday type things. His faith was in the supernatural, unchangeable God. And we saw a couple examples of that in that situation, that his world changed dramatically. But thanks be to God, he had his faith in God. If I can get you to put your faith, that's what this series is for, to build your faith in the God of provision. When things like this that happen in the world, for lack of a better term, freaks out, and they get all up in arms and worried because, wow, the Wall Street and their stocks and their business and their bottom line and their income and their salary is majorly affected, you won't lose a wink of sleep. You won't fret, you won't worry, you won't stress, you won't get into anxiety, because no matter what the world's doing, no matter the ebbs and flows of the world, God is always the God of provision. And Philippians 4:19, it stands in any economy, it stands in any pandemic, it stands in any toilet paper shortage. It does, praise God. Hallelujah. And so we're getting your faith. And isn't it interesting, though, that God never told you in verse 19, I'll meet your needs according to your job. If he did, you better have faith in your job. He didn't say, I'll meet your needs according to what you have in the bank or your business. So you are wasting your time and setting yourself up for failure if all your hopes in your business, if all your hopes in your job, if all your hopes in your paycheck. And I'll tell you what, a lot of people, we see that when they're affected and their bottom line's affected, the smiles go to frowns. The shouts go to droopiness and Eeyore spirit sets in. It just shows people where your faith is. When your faith is in God, it doesn't matter what the bank account says. It doesn't matter what the business numbers are saying or the paycheck. And that's what I want to get your faith in, because this is not the only test of provision we as Christians are going to see in our lifetime. But this is a wake-up call to us. And if you found yourself worried and fearful and nervous, how am I going to eat? How am I going to pay my bills? What am I going to do? That's how people that don't know God talk. In Matthew chapter 5, we saw that people that don't know God, the Gentiles, the ones on the outside looking in, they say, and we looked at this in the second sermon of the God of provision, they say things like, what are we going to do? How are we going to make it? That's people that don't know God talk. The people that know God say, the job's affected, so what? The business is affected, so what? Coronavirus has not affected or infected my God. He's still the God of provision. He still said, I'll meet your needs. Praise God. Paul penned this knowing that we would be in 2020 in the coronavirus. He penned this knowing, had Paul penned this knowing that his very children, their jobs would be affected. Their businesses would be affected. And he still said, put it in there. Because I don't care what happens in 2020. I'm still the God of provision. And if they'll put their faith in me, they'll be fine. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, are you fired up? I'm fired up. Praise God. So I want to continue to put your faith in just what we're doing in this series. Shine in the light. I'm the God of provision. Why? Faith cometh by hearing. The more you hear about this God of provision, the more it'll lift you up right now. And then when you're facing something, you're going to say, I remember. I remember when my stout, short little pastor was screaming at me. When it was the hot as the equator out there on a Wednesday night, he was screaming at me, things are going to be okay, praise God. And you're going to have this stuff in your heart, and you're going to remember it being back on the archives. It's going to help you, praise God. So we're going to keep shining a light. Go to Matthew chapter 14, Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to look at verse 15, and we're going to read down through verse 21. And I want to show you tonight that God, what did I say in the slick text? God doesn't need abundance to produce abundance.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. God can make a lot out of nothing.
Right.
Say, so how does he do that? He's God.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Matthew 14 and verse 15 says, and when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals or supply, you know, get stuff to eat. But Jesus said unto them, they don't need to depart. You give them something to eat. And they said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, bring them to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples and his disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and we were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full, and they had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. So there's more than 5,000 here. They counted the men as 5,000, but then there was also women and children. That's quite a banquet. That's quite a party, man, I'll tell you. And they that eat were 5,000 men besides women and children. Praise God. Well, I want to look at some things that we can see in this passage and portions of Scripture that will raise your faith in the God of provision.
Amen.
That if you're going through right now and it just looks like you don't have very much, this will build your faith. Put it in your heart, because going forward, when at times and seasons when it looks like we don't have enough, it's okay.
Yeah.
He's not different. He's not changed. Praise God. So the first thing I want you to see, look at the God of provision tonight, is found in verse 16. They said in verse 15, Jesus sent them away that they might go get their supply or their provision. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give them something to eat. The first thing I want you to see is God desires to meet your needs.
Yeah.
Notice Jesus, the disciples said, send them away. And Jesus said, no, let's take care of them. Praise God. And remember, Jesus was not on his own program. What do you mean Jesus was on his own program? Remember, Jesus only did what the Father wanted him to do. He only said what the Father wanted him to say. His will on the earth was only that to carry out what the Father's will was. So when Jesus says, I don't want to send them away unfulfilled, unsupplied, it's God saying, I don't want the people to go without. God desires that you have your needs met, that you have a supply. Praise God. The word is his will. Philippians 4:19 tells us that. I'll tell you what, man, when I went through the biggest financial test and trial I ever had, which was starting the church, quitting my job, being $2,000 a month short of paying our bills and food, groceries, things for Caleb when he was a little baby boy, gas money, things like that. It added up to $2,000 short. The basis and foundation for my faith, number one, the basis and foundation for every faith is faith begins where the will of God is known. And I went through that, and the natural was talking, and situations and circumstances were talking. But I knew I had buried Philippians 4:19 so deep in my heart, and so much faith had rose up. I knew no matter what it looked like, no matter what it felt like, God was not okay with me struggling. God was not okay with me having less. God was not okay with my needs not being met. Why? He's the God or the dad of provision. I know it seems simple, but so many people struggle in this area thinking God's left them. God's forgot about them. God doesn't care. God's got bigger things, bigger fish to fry. No, you are His biggest fish. He loves you, praise God. He gave Jesus for you. And so many times people think to themselves, well, if my situation's like this, well, then God must be okay with it. No, there's a devil. There's a world throwing things at you. But God says, I'm here to pull you up, pull you higher. You got to get this in your heart. And we see the picture of a loving Father here. Don't send him away. Let's take care of him. Why? I only do what my daddy wants, and my daddy's a daddy of provision. He's a God that wants to meet needs and take care of people. So if you're facing something right now, you're struggling, and it looks like you're going backwards. It looks like there's not enough. You're struggling, thinking, where am I going to get my money for my next car payment, my next house payment? How am I going to pay my mortgage? How am I going to provide for my family? Just know this, your Father wants to help. He desires to meet that need. And the thought, if you have a logical brain, is, well, then why doesn't he do it? Well, we know that God works through faith. The power of God flows through faith. He's desiring it, but we need your faith. So what's Pastor Mike doing? Telling you about the God of provision. He wants to meet your needs. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, number two is found in verse 17. I want you to see this, that the natural isn't a problem for him. The natural can sure be a stumbling block for us, but the natural isn't a problem for him. The natural sure can trip us up in the faith arena, but the natural doesn't trip him up in the faith arena. What am I talking about? Well, remember Jesus said in verse 16, don't send them away. I want to meet their needs. And in verse 17, they said to him, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Do you see that there? We only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus stated his will. I want to meet their needs. But then they tripped. They stumbled over the natural. Right? They stumbled on the bread and they stumbled on the fish that was there. Jesus, there's 5,000 men besides women and children, and you want to meet their needs? We only have. And guess what? God says, I want to meet your needs, but so many people are like, yeah, he wants to meet my needs, but my needs are higher than what I make. You're tripping over the natural. I only make. When you say I only make and we only have, you know what that's words for? That's stumbling words. That's words that you're tripping over the natural. They tripped over the natural. I don't know what you're talking about here. We only have this. We can't. Tripped over the natural. They tripped over the natural. He didn't trip over the natural. He didn't trip over the natural. He didn't say, well, I can't do this because there's only this. He doesn't need the natural to look good, to make it good. Praise God. You need to get your faith off that because so many people truly have their hopes and faith in what they see. They see their paycheck go way down, and that's what they're doing. Well, I guess they can't do this now. Well, I guess this changes this. I guess so much for this. Your faith is in that. I remember Dr. Dufresne, he used to say, and I loved it, you know, he'd get all fired up, and he'd say, he was not mocking, but he was impersonating people that would say, well, I'm on a fixed income. And he would basically seem like he'd come out of his shoes and say, well, who fixed it?
Amen.
And he'd say, your words are fixing your income. When you say, we don't have enough, you just charted a course. When you say, we're not going to make it, you just charted a course. James chapter 3 says that the tongue is like the rudder of a ship. Well, when you turn the rudder of a ship this way, guess which way the ship goes? When you turn the rudder this way, guess which way the ship goes? The Bible says the tongue's like that. When you say, we don't have it, but you say, Pastor Mike, that's what the natural says. Yeah, the natural also said they had a few fish and a little bit of bread. And Jesus said, I don't give a rip about the natural. If Daddy don't give a rip about the natural, you shouldn't give a rip about the natural. You remember when my daddy picked me up and carried me across the Conowango? Well, actually, it wasn't the Conowango. It was the flooding of the Conowango to get to our hunting spot. And I was nervous. That water was high. He put both guns on me. He said, hop on my back. I said, oh, Lord. But I saw Daddy wasn't worried about it. If Daddy's not worried about it, I'm not worried about it. And Jesus said, I don't give a rip about the natural. You shouldn't give a rip about the natural. Praise God. And so many people, man, they have their faith. They have their faith in the natural, and when their faith and when the natural changes, oh man, they stumble and trip. And the Bible says you're charting a course. You're charting a course for the wrong way. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You're charting a course for the wrong way. Charting a course for the wrong way. When you say we don't have enough, you're charting a course for the wrong way. When you say we're not going to make it, charting a course for the wrong way. Oh, praise God. I love it, you know. You think about that. Who fixed it? The words are fixing that income. Go with me real quick to Exodus 14. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Exodus 14. I love this, you know. God's good. Now, God's will was to be, for the children of Israel, was to be out of captivity from the Egyptians. That was his will. His will was to move them into the promised land. Well, what's God's will for you? I will meet all your needs. But the natural sure can say different at times. Right? And God was saying, I want you free from the Egyptians. I want you free from slavery. I want you to go into a promised land. But so then they get free of the Egyptians. But then what happens? The Egyptians mount up their army and their chariots and their horsemen, and they go after the children of Israel. Why? To capture them and to put them back into slavery. And so here the children of Israel are going away. They think they're free. They think they know God's will. But then they see the Egyptians are tailing them behind them. They can't go to the right. There's mountains. They can't go to the left. There's mountains. They go straight ahead. And there's a big old body of water there called the Red Sea. And look what it says here in verse 15. And the Lord said to Moses, wherefore, why do you cry unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Go forward? Again, I love it. What was God's will? Don't go to the right. Don't go to the left. And don't you dare go backwards. My plan is forward. But what did forward look like? A big body of water where everybody's going to drown. But remember what Pastor Mike said about 5 minutes ago. God doesn't get tripped up by the natural. They're thinking forward. We don't have our life jackets. Forward. We don't have our floaties. Such and such and so and so can't swim. And Jesus did say, oh, God said, oh, I didn't realize. God said, you know what God was saying? We said to go forward. I don't care that there's a body of water. Well, no, I don't care because I don't care about the natural. I don't need the natural to be in line to make it good for you. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, listen, this time you'll be so full of faith. I mean, they'll tell you you're fired tomorrow. You'll be jumping for joy. Don't matter. I tell you, your business is going under. Well, what God's going to have to do it a different way. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah, hallelujah. Whew, some people, man, I'll tell you, I just get a sense of my spirit. You just grip so tightly to your job, so tightly to your business, so tightly to that money you got saved up. I mean, you're just choking the life out of that George Washington. I mean, what was it, Ben Franklin on the hundreds, man? Ben Franklin saying, let me up for air. Let me up for air. You got such a grip on those Benjamins. Yes. So afraid. Just their thoughts in your job. Oh, man, what would happen if my job? What would happen if my business? It's telling you where your faith is. Yes. Hallelujah. He said, why go forward? Lift up your rod, verse 16. Stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. You know what God is saying to him? He's saying, I'm giving you instructions, but I'm just reiterating to you, I don't care about the natural. You know what God's saying during this financial provision? I don't care that there's coronavirus. I don't care that there's layoffs. I don't care that there's unemployment, that people are getting less. I don't care that your business is affected. I don't care the stock market. I don't care. I'm still your dad of provision, and I'll still get it to you somehow. Praise the Lord. And go and lift your hand over the sea and divide it. The children of Israel shall go on the dry ground through the midst of the sea. And behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. Well, we know the story. We would take time to read it, you know. Moses did what God said, and God showed up, didn't he? The Bible says the water split and stood up like a wall on either side. The ground became hard and dry, and they made it across, and the Egyptians got gobbled up in it. Well, what am I trying to say? He's a God that makes a way in the desert places. When there's no way, praise God. God didn't look down there and say, we are in trouble. There's no bridge down there. There's no life rafts down there. There's no floaties. There's no jet skis. There's no boats. What are we going to do? God didn't care. Why? Just like Jesus with the fish and the loaves. So they said, this is all we have. He says, that's fine. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter to me. And we know he made something of it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Got to take your eyes off the natural and put them on him. He's a way maker, right? I remember he spoke this in my heart about being a way maker. He doesn't need a way to make a way. And the problem with us at times is we don't see the way, and then our faith goes near him. All you need to do is put your faith in God. That's why it says, I'll meet your needs according to my riches and glory. Put your faith in him. Hallelujah. And that leads me to my third point here. Go to verse 19 of Matthew 15. Matthew 15 and verse 19. I'm glad I came tonight.
Amen. Praise God.
And I hope you're at home thinking, I'm sure glad he prayed and got ready and prepped and came out here and preached, because I need this. Praise God.
Amen.
You need this. Hallelujah. Amen. Matthew 15 and verse 19. Where was I at? Matthew 14 and verse 19. Matthew 14 and verse 19. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. Remember he said in verse 17, bring what you think is too little to me. Bring that stumbling block to me. He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, took the five loaves and the two fish. I'll tell you, you can't naturally meet the needs of thousands of people with five loaves and two fish. And I know what your thoughts are telling you. My needs can't be met with this economy. My needs can't be met with this job. Well, that's good news, because your needs aren't supposed to be met by that stuff. Your needs are supposed to be met by him.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. And it says, bring them to me. He says, he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, took the five loaves, the two fish. Now look at this. Looking up to heaven. Oh, praise God. He wasn't focused on what he didn't have. He was focused on the one that had. Looking up to heaven. Oh, you are the answer to this. Jesus couldn't do any miracles without God's help. I can't wait in the Ask the Pastor class or the Ask the Pastor sessions when we, you know, people have asked, did Jesus, was he a man? Was he God? Did he give up his deity? There's lots of controversy about the body of Christ. There's no controversy about it. The Bible's clear on it. He was God on the earth, but he stripped himself of the godly privileges, and there's we have verses all over. How do we know? He hungered, he wearied, he thirsted. The Bible says in Philippians 2 that he emptied himself. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So Jesus couldn't just go around doing miracles. In fact, he didn't do his first miracle until he's 30 years old. After what? The Holy Ghost came on him.
Yeah.
Praise God. So when Jesus is looking up to heaven, what's he doing? I'm looking to my answer for this problem.
Yeah.
We have an issue here, Dad. I only have some fish and some bread here. We got thousands of people that need to eat. What are we going to do? I'm going to not look at this. I'm going to look at you, praise God.
Amen.
Jesus' faith was through the roof because he was always looking at the right place.
Amen.
So many people, we have our gaze and our attention on the wrong things. Constantly focused on what we don't have. Constantly talking about how bad it is. Constantly running the numbers, constantly listening to the news and taking what they say is our gospel. My gospel's not the news. My gospel's not Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, or NBC. My God, my news comes from G-O-D. Actually, I like the B-I-B-L-E news network. That's the news network I subscribe to. And some of you need to take your eyes off the FOX and the CNBC and the MSNBC and the NBC and the ABC and the CBS and the CNN and put it on the B-I-B-L-E network.
Amen.
Glory to God. This is my news report. And my news report says I'm blessed. I'm blessed yesterday, I'm blessed today, and I'm blessed tomorrow. No matter what the economy's doing, no matter what the coronavirus is doing, coronavirus, my God is still the God of provision. How do I know? I watch the news. Praise God. Hallelujah. Bible says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus. Why are you looking anywhere else? Why are you looking anywhere else? Looking unto Jesus. Praise God. That's my news network. These are the predictions for my life. This is the outlook or the forecast for my life. Praise God. And you know what I see in my forecast? Who wants to know? I see storm clouds and showers of blessings.
Amen.
I see hurricane of abundance.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I see a tornado of provision coming my way. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now I'm fired up. Yeah, I did it to me. Praise God. He had faith because he's looking at his daddy. Can't do this with what I got here, but I know you can. Praise God. What are we doing? Shining a light on the God of provision. Praise God. Last but not least, go to verse 20 of Matthew 14. Notice it says here, they did all eat. I mean, are you serious? 5 loaves, 2 fish, and they all ate. Thousands of people. 5 loaves and 2 fish. Wow. And they did all eat. Praise God. But notice this, they didn't just eat. They all ate and were filled. You know what it means to be filled? Can't fit anymore. If you're like me, you've been there a lot. You ever been there after a meal? I go there too much. My suits are telling me, you gotta stop that. You're going to the place of filled too much. My suits are saying, back off the filling station. Could you stop at moderation, would you please? What's filled mean? They got to eat so much, they had no room for anymore. They didn't just get a snack. 5,000 men, plus women and children, 5 loaves, 2 fish, they had such a feast, every single person left full. You know that feeling, I can't move. You know what it's like. That's what it was like for them. So what's my last point? God is not the God of just barely getting by. God is the God of abundance. And we'll probably look at this in this series about the God that's not just enough, the God that's more than enough. But what's he want to show you? I don't want you just skimming by during this time. I want you going so far over. He's the God that says, thy cup runneth over. He just keeps pouring and pouring and pouring.
Amen.
I've seen it, you know, back in that 2 years when we were $2,000 short, we didn't just pay our bills. That'd be a miracle enough. If we just paid the $1,200 worth of bills that were coming in the mail during that time and missed out on the $800, that'd still be pretty good. Naturally. But we paid the $1,200 plus the additional $800 it averaged out to be with groceries, things for the baby, gas, things like that. To $2,000 a month. If we'd have just made that, that'd have been good. But no, God didn't want us just to get by. He filled us up, praise God. During that time, we paid off $60,000 worth of debt. You say, how is that possible? It's not, naturally. There were 5 loaves and 2 fish. And God multiplied supernatural so many different things. You know, I've seen him work so many times. I want to just share this story with you. Most of you have heard it before, but it blesses me to tell it, so I'm hoping it blesses you to hear it. But the first time I really saw that my God was a God of provision, And that not only does God want to just bless me, He wants to go over in abundance, was when I went to Bible school. And, you know, I followed God. You know, He told me to go to Bible school, and I did. I packed up my 1990 Nissan pickup, you know, with the rust, and driving down the highway and just hoping, you know, I was basically turned into Bon Jovi on that trip. I turned into Bon Jovi. What was I? I was living on a prayer. Oh, man, I was living on prayer. Just please get me there. I need to be there, and I did. I got there, but not too long after I got there, the bottom of my truck rusted out, the gas lines, and I was spilling out gas, and it needed to be fixed. But problem was, I didn't have money going there. Had to get a job, got a full-time job, and naturally, I didn't have enough to pay for my truck, to get me to my job, and to get me to my schooling, and to pay for my schooling. Didn't have enough. Didn't have it. And the last thing I wanted to do was not be able to pay my bill there. I had finally come out of being a person with no character, no morals, no responsibility. You know, before I went to Rhema, and before I got saved, I had 26 jobs in 2 years. Didn't bother me to quit on the spot. Didn't bother me to leave someone high and dry. It just didn't before Jesus. And so the last thing here, I'm getting my life turned around. I'm going to Bible school. The last thing I want to do is go up to the Bible school payment window and say, I can't pay my bill. No, I'm sick of living that way. But I didn't have any money. And so I remember checking my heart. What do? I had enough money from working to either pay my truck or to pay for my schooling. And I just reasoned in my head, you know, I thought, well, I got to pay one of them. I'll pay for the truck, because without the truck, I can't get to my job and I can't get to the schooling. And I remember believing God. And I remember verses like Philippians 4:18. And the Lord, You said, if I desire in my heart, Mark 11:24, I'll have what you know, it's Your will. I know this, Lord. I had learned it, you know, from Pastor Michael before I left. And so I paid my truck, you know, and the school payment was due in like a day or two, and no money there, no natural money. And I wasn't reaching out to anybody in the natural. Nobody was going to give me money anyways. I mean, they thought I was nuts going to be a preacher. I mean, I had gone through 26 jobs, 5 different colleges, different majors, quit and drop it out, you know, doing crazy ideas, things like that. And I get there, I can't pay my bill. And I remember being in class one day, and if I remember right, it was due the next day. And I so wanted to just be a man of my word. I signed up for that school saying, I'll pay for my tuition. And they did it, you know, monthly you could pay. It was $300. And I'll tell you what, $300 back then might as well have been $300,000 to me. You know, it was so much, I didn't have it. And so I remember sitting, praising God the night before and waking up the next morning and praising God and thanking Him. He's faithful. And Lord, You didn't call me here to starve me out, to not provide my needs. You knew I'd need tuition. You know, just in faith, just dumb enough to believe God. You know, didn't look at the natural, could have been down and out and frowning and crying over my lack of my money in my wallet, lack of money in a bank account, but no, my eyes were in the right place. Why? Jesus told me, put my eyes on Him. And so I went to school that day, and after class, we had 3 classes, you know, in the morning, you'd go from about 8 to 12, and then I'd work from about 1 or 2, depending on the day, till 10 or 11 o'clock at night at the deli there. And Reese's Deli in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and my boss's name was Squeaky. I know you all want to know my boss's name was Squeaky. I found great favor with Squeaky because they always say the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So I thought if she's squeaky, I'm going to be squeaky too. Praise God. I found great favor with Squeaky. And anyways, I was praising God, went to class, and after my last class, a gentleman approached me, sat next to me, and he said, the Lord put it on my heart that somebody around me in the last class needed money. He said, so I asked the Lord, is it the person in front of me? And the Holy Ghost said to that man, no. I asked the Lord, is it the person sitting behind me? And the Holy Ghost said, no. Is it the person, because the Holy Ghost said, someone around you, is the person sitting to this side of me? No. So I said, well, Holy Ghost, You said they're around me. Is it the person sitting next to me on this side? And the Holy Spirit said, yes. So that person said to me, do you need money? You know, they wanted a little confirmation on themselves, you know, stepping out in faith. And I said, yes, sir, I do. And he took out money and he stuck it in my breast pocket here. And I didn't look at it or anything. Didn't even, you know, think that, you know, what was going on. I just, wow, that was cool, you know. Went in my old truck, you know, got up in that Nissan, pulled it out and unwadded it. And there were 3 crisp $100 bills. Praise God. My tuition, when there was nothing. But not only was there $300, there was $310. And you all know the story. I had to celebrate. I mean, I saw a miracle happen. So I went down to Mazio's, and I got a ham and cheese calzone with extra ranch dressing and a Pepsi. And I sat there and celebrated and rejoiced and praised my God, who didn't just meet my need. He filled my belly, too. Praise God. Hallelujah. But here was a situation where there was no natural help. Nobody, I wasn't going around telling people I needed tuition money. But see, God doesn't need a way to make a way. I love it. That happened to me two other times. Now, the other times it happened to me, I went up to pay my tuition, had the money, but he's a God of abundance. I went to pay my tuition, and they said, "Sir, you don't owe anything this month. Somebody anonymously paid your tuition." I could stand here till tomorrow morning and tell you testimonies of my own life and things that people have shared with me in their own lives, people I trust and know to be true. But my point is this. God doesn't need abundance or a provision or natural supply to get you what you need. He proves it over and over and over again. I encourage you, get these services in your heart. Go back and meditate on these. Say, "Well, I don't need it right now." You may someday. I know some people, they get so comfortable because their business is doing so well, because their job pays them so much, because their needs are being met. They get so comfortable, you know, their paycheck looks so good, their stocks are looking so good. Don't be comfortable in the changeable. Become comfortable with the unchangeable. So when the changeable changes, you don't change and you stay full of faith, praise God. Well, I told you that the trilogy of this series would be good, and it was. The Word was good. Come on and stay with me. The Word is good. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and let's pray. Father, we bless you tonight. We honor you and magnify you. Lord, thank you for helping us tonight. Oh, I'll tell you what, I'm stirred up. I'm stirred up, Father. And you know what's so cool about the children of Israel? They had a need to get across that water, but it wasn't a financial need. Now, it was tied to it, you know, eventually it would lead to going to the promised land. But my point is this, whatever you need, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it looks like there isn't, it doesn't matter. If it's a need, God will meet that need. He just needs your faith. How am I going to get faith? Keep listening to services like this. Praise God. Father, we love you tonight. We're so grateful and so thankful for this series. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for providing for us. Thank you for being so generous, Father. Now, Lord, there may be some of us that are sitting in a position where our needs are not being met naturally, where it looks bad. There's a lot of stumbling blocks. But, Father, we know you're not tripped up by the natural. And we know that all you're looking for us is our faith. So, Father, we look in the right place. And we trust you, Lord. We say you're faithful. You're faithful to deliver where there needs deliverance. You're faithful to supply where there needs to be a supply. And Lord, we just praise you tonight. Come on and worship him with me. He deserves it. We glorify you and magnify you, Father. Now, the greatest need he ever met for mankind was our need for eternal life. The Bible says that when you're not God's child or you're not have not received Jesus, or if you haven't been born again, that unfortunately your eternal destination is perishing or in a place called hell. Hell's real. There's a hell to shun, but there's also a heaven to gain. And God's made heaven so simple. The world and the media and the news and churches and religion and people will make getting to God and getting eternal life seem so hard and difficult. But the Bible, God's news report, God's Word, says in John 3:16, if we would just believe on Jesus, we would not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 10:13 echoes the same thing. It says, if you just call on His name. Notice it doesn't have anything to do with how good or bad you've been, how much church you've been to or how little church you've been to, how generous you've been, how cheap you've been. It has everything to do with Jesus. And the only qualifications to receiving Jesus are John 3:16, believing, and Romans 10:13, calling on His name, which is receiving Him. And so if you're watching this tonight, you say, I've never received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I don't know if I'm born again. I don't know if I'm going to heaven. My goodness, don't let another moment pass you by. This is your opportunity to join the greatest family, to have the greatest dad ever, the dad of provision, the dad who loves you so much, the dad who offers you heaven and eternity with him. And so I would ask you now to bow your heads and to close your eyes. And if you want to receive the Lord, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm not going to, the contents of this prayer are going to be declaring our belief in Jesus, which the Bible says in John 3:16, and then calling on his name, Romans 10:13, and the result will be saving. You don't have to come up with the words on your own. I will say what to say. I'm just asking that you mean it with all your heart. So those that want to pray that for the first time, I'm going to ask you to repeat with me. And those that have already received Jesus by faith, let's join with them. And let's pray this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you are real.
I believe in you.
And I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. And I believe that you rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. And Lord, you said if I would believe and call on your name and receive you, that I would be saved. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. You can look at me here. Praise God. If you prayed that for the first time, first of all, congratulations. Wow, we're excited for you. There's so much to look forward to. You know, the cool thing is church attendance can't get you in and church attendance can't keep you out.
That's right.
Hallelujah. If you've received Jesus today, you're going to heaven. Doesn't matter how good or bad you've been, you're going to heaven. But I know this, I'm not in heaven yet. And as long as Jesus doesn't come back, I'm not going to be in heaven tomorrow either, praise God. We have a life to live. There may be many years before we go to heaven or before Jesus comes back. God doesn't want us to live those years alone or suffering or hurt or in defeat. And what he's done is he's given us his word. You don't have to go to church to go to heaven, but to walk in all that he has for you. Because it's not the act of going to church to get some kind of merit award that then he blesses you. Come into a Bible teaching church like this one. You learn what he has for you so you can learn how to walk in what he has for you. So if you prayed that for the first time, you're heaven bound. You are in. And you don't ever have to step foot in a church or this church to go to heaven. But if you want your life to go to the next level, to be the best it can be and receive all that God has for you, you need a pastor. Jesus said in Matthew 9, you need a pastor, that without it, your life will struggle. We'd love to have you come here. If you're watching and you're in a location that you can be here when we open up the churches, whether it's South Dayton or Allegheny, love to see you, love to meet you, and love to help you walk into all that God has for you. If you don't live around here, say, I couldn't get to that church, it's too far away, get a hold of me and we'll do our best to find you a church that you can go to. Praise God. Well, were you blessed tonight?
Amen.
I was blessed tonight. Hallelujah. Don't forget Sunday morning. It's the last service of the month. And so we are taking up our building fund offering along with tithes and offerings. And also we'll be taking communion, honoring and remembering what the Lord has done. We're still having our online services for now. But I'm telling you what, those days are numbered.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, stand with me to your feet and let's praise the Lord before we go. Father, we love you so much. Come on, don't just make this a tradition or something we just do. Praise him from your heart right now. We bless you and honor you. We love you and praise you. We thank you for your mercy and your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you and appreciate you. See you Sunday morning. You are dismissed.